You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch, as you always are, on Tuesdays here on LA Talk Radio, about noon time, Pacific Coast, and wherever you are in the world joining us. Welcome to the couch. And I'm Dr. Michelle Cohen, as mentioned, and as always, I have a great guest today. And she's going to help inspire you, women, young women, and men in your lives, figuring out a lot of things, resolving a lot of issues in your life that you may be experiencing, especially right now and in over the past year and a half through the pandemic. But the book really focuses on Patricia's healing journey. So welcome to the couch, Patricia. So nice to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. It's being on the couch is quite comfortable.
Good. I'm so glad. I'm really glad. Most folks say that, you know, so that's great. I say most.
I know. I know every different. Every couch is different. That's why there's so many out there.
That's right, honey. That's it. So we're talking about Patricia's latest book, and I'm going to hold it up right now. Seen and Unheard. All right. This is the important part of the book, and we're going to talk about why Patricia has been seen and unheard. And yet, it's about a little girl's journey from silence to empowerment. So let me just kind of introduce you a little bit, give you some props here. So they know that you are the best-selling author of this book. It's an amazing book. It's a wonderful read. And it's a therapeutic book as well. I love books like yours because they tell the journey, but they also give tidbits and thoughtfulness about how to kind of change up your life, empower yourselves, and move on. You are a women's empowerment coach and also certified professional coach, practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. That's amazing work, by the way. Mm-hmm. Good for you, honey. I mean, it really is. Also, emotional freedom technique. Yay! Love that emotional freedom technique. The EFT, it's all about the brain, baby. And by combining these practices along with her own personal experience in overcoming real life challenges and trauma, Patricia has spent the last couple of decades inspiring and empowering women and girls, and not to throw in men as well, who have really learned a lot from this book, you know, to overcome challenges and trauma and, you know, empowering everyone to use their voice for good. And we're going to hear about Patricia's journey, how she felt sort of silenced and misunderstood, as we, mm-hmm. most of us have growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And how she was able to use those experiences in order to fuel her inner fire and make a positive difference in the world around her. And also we're going to talk about her mission to help others, which we all need some kind of purpose in our lives. Mm-hmm. It's called Healing Hoodies. I love that. That's so cool. So welcome to the couch here. And thank you again. Oh, so much for writing this book.
Absolutely. I mean, really, thank you.
You know, when I think about the people I speak to each day, my patients, and I hear these same stories over and over, as you do, I know, mm-hmm. about trauma, mm-hmm. About overcoming trauma, and the things that we hang on to and are, as you use the word, which I love to use, imprinted in mm-hmm. our brains from mm-hmm. when we are young.
Yes.
And the messages we receive about ourselves through our caregivers, mom, dad, whoever is raising us, and also our friends, and the messages we receive from life. Gosh, I mean, it's so heavy to carry these burdens. So.
You know what? It can be very, very heavy. And especially when you're going through it, and especially when you don't understand it.
Right.
And exactly. I think that's the hardest part is, you know, that people talk about it all the time. But even when you're in it and people are talking about it, you don't realize you're in it.
Right. No, it's so true. You're like, oh, wait a minute, because I'm
really talking about you. Can't be talking about me, you know?
Right? You're right, like that line. You talking about me?
Exactly. Yeah, right. So it's an interesting topic, and it's one that we constantly have to go over and over and over again to remind people that, first off, they're not alone in this. They're not alone in feeling unheard or any of that.
Yeah, it's so true. So I always ask all of my guests and specialists like yourself and authors, what was the motivating factor that said, Patricia, you got to write this book. You got to get it out there, girl.
That's pretty much it. I got to get it out there, girl. You know, okay. you know, honestly, this book has been on my mind for a long time. And well, when I say long time, obviously I wasn't thinking about necessarily writing a book in my younger years, but you know, since I went through all this and in the 50s, I went through all this in my 50s. This wasn't anything, any change that I came around in my 20s and 30s. You know, so it's only been about 12, 15 years. And so it's for some people that might be a lifetime, but it's really, you know, as we mature, that's not that much of a lifetime. It was just a short period of time ago. But I needed to have that last exhale, you might call.
Right.
And to just say, you know what? I'm still holding on to bits and pieces of this stuff because, you know, as a coach, as a person who teaches and helps other women, I'm still on my journey. And I'm on my journey forever. You know, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, hey, she's a coach now, she's best-selling author, she's moving forward. Yeah. I am moving forward. Yeah. But, you know, there's always challenges.
There are.
So for me, it was important to get it out there. And I got to tell you, when the editor said, okay, we're done. And I'm like, okay, it goes, well, now what happens? It goes to publishing. And I'm like, okay, so is there a button that gets pushed or something? And you know, that was quite scary because literally I was putting myself out there for people see friends who didn't know.
Sure. Exactly. No, isn't that interesting too? Yeah. When you write such a profound book, people go, what? Patricia, you're always so bubbly and out there and happy and what?
Well, that's probably in part of the book. That was what? Yeah. Fake it till you make it. You
know? That's right, girl. You fake it till you make it.
You make it. And is that the right thing? I would say no. Sometimes you have to do certain things, but we have to know what we're doing within so that we don't, like I did, where I just took everything and all my feelings and stuffed them in my bag.
Sure you did.
And, you know, carried that bag around with me. And then eventually that bag just explodes if you don't acknowledge your own, your feelings about things and understand them. But it sometimes takes something major, unfortunately, to make you want to change your life.
Yeah, it really does.
A lot of people, it's a death of a family member or parent or divorce or sickness, major traumas. But, you know, for me, a lot of those things kind of all came together in a head.
Exactly.
So I had like two or three or four things happen to me at once.
You sure did.
But, you know, I know, right? But, you know, you feel for some of these people that it's resilience. You have to go through some of these things. And people don't always understand that. You think you have this perfect life and everything, but something's going to happen. And I don't want to say like, hey, it is just life.
Right.
nobody wants to put anything on anybody. I would never want anything to happen, but you know, unfortunately life happens.
Exactly.
And you know, you've got to be either prepared for it or at least have some tools that and usually that only comes with unfortunately experience and going through stuff and getting
really
through
does.
And that makes your life like, okay, how do I get around this? How can I grow? How can I be better? How can I, you know? And these days with the mind of fitness, I call it, it's so important to really imprint, as you might say, like I said, on your own mind what you can do and really learn about who you are.
Right, exactly.
Because that's going to help you navigate through all the crap that gets
thrown. Right, exactly. Yeah. So learning, beautifully said, Patricia, thank you for that. So, you know, learning about who we are, at the very beginning, you sort of describe as you were young, feeling powerless and voiceless and unimportant. as a child. So just so people can really understand your backstory, can you share a little bit about how those feelings emerged within you, what you had to experience?
Sure. And interesting enough, as a child, we have to remember, we just learn what we live. So we don't always understand that that's not maybe normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. No.
So, you know, at the time when I'm very young, and let me go, just I'm just prefacing that, I didn't really know all this stuff. Like, my mom was an alcoholic who was really always trying to plan her drinking thing, which, again, I find this out later. Okay.
Right.
She was planning her drinking, you know, like, right. So she would try to get rid of me so she could enjoy.
Okay. Right.
Go play with your friends. And when I, you know, when I got older, you know, go take the car, you know, usually kids have to beg for the car. I was like, no, don't take the car.
Oh my gosh.
You know, that kind of stuff. And my father was a salesperson, so he was never around. He was on the road all the time. Plus he was very unemotional. And it's from that era. But, you know, when you look back, everything like, it's like anything, like, oh, now if you allow yourself. But at the time, all I wanted was daddy's love. And I couldn't get daddy's love. He wasn't he wasn't a hugger. He was a good lecturer, that kind of thing. But just to give the listeners an example of what I mean by unemotional, he would actually write his birthday cards out to me. Happy birthday, Mr. Jack M. Love.
What? Oh, wow. Well,
you know, it was always a professional.
Oh my gosh.
You know, you learn, you think, oh, okay, that's kind of, and I thought, well, it's kind of interesting. I thought you were my dad, you know, but until you see other families, which is what I, you know, in the boat, I note that until you see how other families react, you kind of think that's very normal.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely,
I mean, you did. As I was growing up, and especially in my teens, and when I could have the car, I was like, you know, a hit because
I
could always do anything. I never got grounded.
Could
go all these places. So I could get pick up all my girlfriends, you know, all those things that made me feel good.
Yeah, you were rocking that Mustang,
I was rocking it at that time. You know, needless to say that I did not understand how it was affecting me internally.
Right.
And as you go into young adulthood, it affects how you deal with life with outside the family.
Yes. Yes. Anymore. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had to kind of mold your ways of thinking. You had in order to, you know, please daddy all the time. So about molding and sort of kind of going with the flow and just
I learned he was in sales, right?
Yes,
so I
understood
that very young because I read one of his books and I was fascinated, which I picked up at a young age, you know, Think and Grow Rich. And I love that book still today. I love all those inspirational type of things.
Sure.
But I learned that, okay, if I can learn to negotiate with him, then he'll love me.
Right. That's right.
So that's exactly what we do as kids, trying to get any way we could. He was also really good at buying me things. And that's the way he showed me his love, as I really realized.
That was his love language, was giving, his buying.
Let me buy you a car. Let me buy you something. Let me send you, we'll go on a trip to Hawaii. And yet it's funny because he was more of a show off. He didn't really have that much money, but he would always spend it. And I learned to do exactly the same thing.
Wow. Interesting stuff.
And so I was always trying to buy love.
Yes, you were.
Boyfriends, husbands.
Yes.
And I thought, well, if I buy something and, you know, they'll know I love them. Well, that didn't work because I was divorced twice and, you know, went through relationships.
Oh, well, you have to go through it, right? You have to learn.
You know, but that's how you kind of learn through these things. But that's how it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, honey. And
yeah.
So, and you talk about how really after those experiences, you know, just sort of looking back and understanding how we molded ourselves and how we had to kind of understand our own identity by rolling with who they were and sort of fake it till you make it, learning how to negotiate that to get the attention we all need. Mm-hmm. But you talk about how we really need to go through that acknowledging our inner self, which is so important.
Yeah, you know,
and looking within. Yeah.
You know, interesting enough, though, I didn't really figure that out, like I said, till my 50s.
Well, right. And hey, you know what?
I'm hoping I could help younger people do it sooner. But again, it's all the willingness and wanting to and understanding. Exactly. Right. And some people will get it and some people won't. And some people have to go through that stuff to get to the other side.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I don't think, as I look back and everybody says this, I wouldn't change anything.
Yes.
It's just how it was.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
You know, because everybody has their own story.
They do.
You know, they think that, you know, they're less than so many people.
Right.
And they think that, everybody else's life is better. Everybody thought my life was fabulous. And on the outside, my life was fabulous. I was making money. I was spending money. You know, I looked happy and positive, but then I'd go home and cry or be miserable.
Oh, of course.
And this is what people do, especially today in the social media age.
Yes.
Of women comparing themselves and social media just bombarding them with, you know, beauty and filters to make take away the pimple and to take away this, you know.
Right.
It's devastating.
It really is.
And until you can acknowledge this, and here's the thing is, I found the hardest thing to do is acknowledging your own truth.
Right. That is really
acknowledging your own negative.
Yeah. Because, well, right, you have to dig down.
Yeah, because we don't want to think that we're not perfect, right? Even though there's no such thing as perfection.
Right. That's really true.
You know, people strive for it, but it's a thing that you're striving for that will never actually happen. Now, doing your best, I can get totally understand that.
Exactly.
But, you know, acknowledging the fact that I was, and this is, again, in my 50s, you know, acknowledging the fact that I maybe wasn't so good at money.
Yeah,
I was made a lot of money, spent a lot of money. And when the real estate market went down, because I've been in real estate for a long time, I was at the bottom part of that.
Right.
I'd spent the money and then I was $140,000 in debt.
There you go.
You know, my husband had left. My mom had died and drinking too much, doing everything that I shouldn't be doing. Sure. And I really had to acknowledge the fact that, well, you know what, Patricia, you might be drinking a little bit too much. Yeah. Or maybe you played a little part in those divorces.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to be, you need to look at yourself. You know, what are you doing? Rather than saying, well, it couldn't be me. You got to be
here. Exactly. Exactly. That's right. And that's, you know, what we do a lot of times. And, you know, to your point, sort of back here to social media, it is so tough on, especially, I think, young women, because, you know, that perfectionistic display that everyone puts out on their own personal PR social media is so hard to compete. There's a competition energy with these young people. And I say that, you know, because we've been there and done that, you know. Absolutely. We're past that. We don't have to sort of.
I mean, I guess that's one thing about lessons learned, wisdom earned.
No, thank you. Exactly. Perfectly said. But I think you're right. It's really, really important to acknowledge and get to our own point. And that's part of our own journey, getting to that point, no matter how long it takes us to say, wait a minute. Ooh, you know, it takes two to tango. Maybe I really shared a part in that
sharing
particular issue.
Things, acknowledging that, you know, that it, and also learning to listen rather than talking all the time.
Right.
And as I mentioned before, and I saw too that, you know, it's getting off that daily hamster wheel.
Oh gosh.
That it's right now is even worse than it ever was because of you got to post every day. You got to do a reel every day. You got to do this every day. You look perfect every day. And if you're on that hamster wheel every single day, all the time, and always thinking about what you know going to post next or whatever to make that money to be that perfect.
Right.
You can never take the time to find out who you are.
Yes, exactly.
Because you need to get off the hamster wheel.
Right.
And that's the hardest part for people.
Mm.
It's pausing. But I try to explain it to them like this. Is like, you know, when people work out, especially right now, young people are always there trying to work out and they get their muscles, they hurt their muscles, right? And their muscles are hurt. So they feel like they got to relax. You know, their coach will say, you got to relax that muscle. Or they make them relax because it hurts, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Muscles weren't supposed to use.
Exactly.
Well, the brain muscle is exactly the same.
It is.
But we don't think about the brain muscle the same way.
Exactly.
And if we don't relax it, and let it get rid of a lot of the stuff that you just input it into it. It just overloads.
Yes, it does.
And that's where your overwhelmness comes. Right. That's where your anxiety comes. Mm. That's when all of the stuff comes to you when, you know, you don't realize that, you know, you think, well, okay, I'll just go get a massage. That may help for a moment.
Right.
You've got to step off and take the time daily, just like you would exercise daily, to relax your mind every single day. And so, because I find now that and let me tell you, and everybody says, you know, well, it's so hard to relax your mind. I said, yeah, at first it's hard to do anything. Right?
Well, yeah, sure.
You know, the first 2 minutes you're fidgeting and you're doing this and you're doing
that.
You can't do it. After a while, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I want to get 5 more minutes. I wonder if I can do this. I need 5 more.
Exactly.
So pretty soon you start enjoying it. And that's where the clarity works.
Right.
And focus comes in. It's like, I can tell you, so many people are clients of mine have said, do you know when I find the most exciting times and when I really focus? And they go, I go, when? They go, in the shower.
In the shower. Yes.
Because we don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, that's right. And we're experiencing that sensation of the warm water on our bodies.
Exactly.
And there's no one to look at except the tile or the marble or whatever.
Exactly. You know, best ideas that pop up, and that's when you want to write them all down.
Right. Right. And there's also theories about, you know, you're in that space and, you know, energy being like 3 meters out from other people. You're isolated from other people in that little square.
So I try to like have people like, yes, see, now you want to do more of that. You want to take longer showers.
Yes.
You want to take more stuff because that's the way you want to feel every day at nighttime when you step off that hamster wheel, because the energy you're going to get when you do that is going to be so much more. And acknowledging that and realizing that and getting off that hamster wheel is critical to mind fitness. It's critical. And I had to learn that the hard way, just like everybody else. And I'm still constantly learning it. I always, sometimes I have to say to myself, oh, Patricia, I see a little hamster wheel going there. You're jump off, do a pause. So we're always having to, you know, check ourselves, you might say.
We really are. And it's important. And saying something like, ooh, did I come off strange, or was I being too paranoid or too angry and all those things? Those are good things to self-question. You know,
you have to think that's important. All that. I go through everything every day. I do my five, I have those 5 words, which I came up with and I use all the time, which you started with this acknowledgement, forgiveness, mindset, accountability, and perseverance, and gratitude at the very end. But
those
5 words I actually go through every day, like, okay.
Yes.
What did I acknowledge today?
Right.
Do I need to forgive somebody? Do I need to forgive myself? Did I not give myself enough grace? Where was my mindset today? Was I overactive? Did I take some time? Did I do something? Did I have some accountability? Did I check off those lists? Did I actually do what I said I was going to do? And then also, did I take that step forward, persevere a little bit?
Exactly.
And I do those things every day, every evening, and it puts me in check.
Yes, it does. And so you just sort of check those things off. And I know, you know, we of course discussed the acknowledgement and sort of it. You know, I always talk about the importance of forgiveness.
Yes.
And that's to self and others.
Yes.
I just was turning a couple of patients on to the Ho'oponopono self-forgiveness work, you know, this week. I went, oh yeah, that's there. That's right. But I loved what you were talking about when you share the importance of forgiveness. So could you elaborate on that?
Yes. You know, and some people will say, well, how do you forgive when you just hate somebody so much, you know, or they did this to me.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? You're not, you know, I always say to them, you're forgiving for yourself.
Yes.
And you're not forgetting.
Right.
You're forgiving for yourself, because I, you know, as I talked about in the book, I had some sexual traumas. I was raped twice in my early 20s.
Oh, sorry.
And, you know, I did know, it was an ex-boyfriend and he threw me in a hospital, but one person I didn't know.
Oh, I know.
And so I needed to forgive them. First off, I have no idea where they're at. No, and don't really care, obviously.
Right.
But but I needed to forgive them in order to take my energy back, because I was using so much energy of heat and anger. Like, if you hadn't done this, then I wouldn't be this way. You know, or I wouldn't have to be going through this, or you made me feel not trustworthy or not trustful. But instead I took it and said, look, and I'm not really religious. I'm more spiritual. Yes. But what I did say, and I went through and I made a list, and I even put my dad down there, my mother, because, you know, I said to each one of them, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
That's it.
They have their own stories.
They do.
The guy that raped me, I don't know if he had been raped, and I don't know, you know, again, we learn what we live, right?
Yes, exactly. You know? It's so true.
And so we don't know their stories.
Right.
So
right.
without, I can't judge them.
Right.
You know, but I can forgive them for not understanding or not knowing, but I will take my power back and not be angry at them anymore. So I can take that anger and place it into some positive energy. Now, I'll never forget. And I will also be very careful about what I do next. Maybe I associate with and being smart about it.
Right. Exactly.
But even friends, if you know, because sometimes they don't even know what they do.
No, they don't. They just don't. And we're, you know, based on our own, you know, inner feelings about ourselves, sometimes we don't
give them a chance or they don't give us a chance because we don't want to be vulnerable, right? So we don't want to tell anybody about our dark areas in our life. And if we do, sometimes we get shut down a little bit. So we hold that in.
Right. Exactly.
So those people that have stories behind, that have done things for people or to people, we don't know where their darkness is.
Right. We don't.
But here's the sad part is that we don't always allow them to talk about their darkness either.
Yeah, it's really true.
Had a client of mine say to me, you know, I wanted to be vulnerable with a friend of mine. And all she could say was, you know, just chin up, you know, suck it up and do this. And you can do this. And she says, that wasn't the point. The point was, I felt like I wanted to be vulnerable. I didn't want to complain. I just wanted to share that I don't feel good right now. My feelings are good right now.
And
maybe that friend is saying, I'm so sorry you're going through this.
Is this
something I can do to support? Sure. Rather than saying, get over it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And she couldn't maybe deal with it because of her own stuff. It was too close to her.
And that's what we talked about is that, you know, this may be too close. She didn't want to go there because she has her own story.
Sure,
and that might bring up her own triggers.
Exactly.
So we've got to learn to listen and understand.
Yes, it's so true, Patricia. In case you just tuned in, guys, here you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle Cohen and my special guest today, Patricia Love. And she has her own practice and she is amazing and the author of a wonderful book that is really empowering for young women, women of all ages, men as well, so you can understand your beginnings and how to deal with some of those traumatic experiences you've had and some of those imprints you've bought into about who you are and your identity, and you're still going through it, no matter what age, by the way. The book is called Seen and Unheard, A Little Girl's Journey from Silence to Empowerment. Here we are. Check it out. We're going to tell you how you can find out more about Patricia and pick up her book at the end of the show. It's an amazing read, and it's really helpful, too, because I love, you know, the little reflections you have at the end of each chapter that you describe. So we can, little workbook here, too, so you can think about things and work on your own stuff.
Even though it's a memoir, and they're my stories, I've found from a lot of people, men and women, who have contacted me and said, you know what, that story reminded me of something that, you know, I went through.
Yeah.
And now maybe how I can react differently to it or how I can change my behavior in it. So, you know, so it was very helpful for a lot of people. They said it because even like I said, it's my stories, but it could be a story about your spouse or your partner or anybody. It can be anybody's story, but they don't always talk about it.
That's so true. Exactly.
Something else in them. So
And I love the idea too of not only forgiving others, as we were talking about, but you know, forgiving yourself for doing things that you regret now, but you didn't know any better at the time, as well as, you know, when you say they know not what they did, our parents or whoever made us feel insecure or bad about ourselves. Same thing with us. We know not what we did.
We were young. We did crazy things. I did some crazy things. When my first, when I had to acknowledge everything, my negatives, it was a very long list. the good thing is that when I check myself every day now, the list is sometimes not there, or maybe it's very short list, you know.
Oh, that's great.
We have to go through this negative, because guess what? We're not perfect.
Yes.
We're imperfectly perfect, which is the beauty of this. And I really try to let people know you must give yourself some grace.
Yes.
You know, and give other people grace.
Yes.
Because so many people are just going through what they know what to go through. They know how to go through things. And we have to try and be more, we have to be kinder to people.
Yes.
Because we just don't always know what the situation is.
Right. It's so true, honey. We just don't. Yeah. And it's, you know, and again, we have to examine ourselves, I think, and say, where is that coming from? That weird vibe I have towards someone, you know, and they didn't do anything.
Examine yourself and stop being judging yourself. You will have a tendency not to want to judge others.
It's so true. My goodness.
So we have to learn from ourselves.
Well, to your point there, you know, you talk about your inner journey. Once you acknowledge your faults and really forgave the people that you felt had hurt you, then you said the negative energy released and your mindset began to shift.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that mindset that just kind of was shifting into?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's amazing when you release, especially when you forgive. And my gosh, so that's why it's number two on my list is when you forgive others and forgive yourself, and you know, it won't be a perfectly forgiveness, because you know, there's always every once in a while you fall back. I mean, because we're human again, we're normal. But when you forgive, it's like a bricks that come off of you. And you can start to see the world with a different lens. One of my most favorite quotes is Wayne Dyer. But one of my most favorite is, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Mm-hmm. And at first I had trouble kind of really, you know, breaking it down a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once I got it, it was like, if I can change my way of my thinking, more in a positive way, more in a kinder way, more in a non-judgmental way. So I did it in that way, as far as trying to shift how I was thinking, step by step, not like overnight, because it doesn't happen overnight. And it's a constant journey.
Of course it is.
The way I looked at things and literally saying to myself, when something came up, how can I look at this differently?
Yes.
Am I looking at this differently? Am I looking at it with just one lens, or can I put in another lens?
Right.
Let me see, before I, you know, got all crazy and anxiety driven type of thing.
Right.
We cause a lot of our anxiety ourselves.
Sure we do.
Because we put ourselves in these situations rather than saying, wait a minute. Okay. Is this totally out of my control? Sometimes it's yes. If it's not out of my control, is what are my options? What can I do? What can I think about? How can I look at this differently?
Right.
Those little things I said to myself started shifting my mindset ever so slightly.
Yes.
And that's when they stick, is when they start shifting slightly.
Yes.
And acknowledging that and moving forward. And I tried to begin listening better.
Yes. Yes. And you're listening to your inner self, and you're really working. Yeah. Yeah. And you're really, you're becoming
and to
more.
Others. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yes. So you become more like the observer.
Yes.
And, you know, rather than the feeler. So it's not filtering through the ego process, you know, that ego of,
absolutely.
How's this going to affect me? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're an observer. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, the more I would listen to others, and again, I was constantly listening to myself and hearing like because we say things to our inner self all the time, right?
Yes.
And I'll catch myself and go, well, you just said, you stop that. You can't do something.
Right.
You know, let's rethink that. So I check but I also listen to others and what they're saying. And I don't try to change it. I don't try to interfere with their lives.
Right, right. Right.
Because some people want to change, you know, you shouldn't think that way or you shouldn't be that. I wanted to just be an observer and try and understand. And it pretty soon it was kind of like, huh, I kind of get it now. I'm seeing where they're coming from or where they maybe shouldn't be coming from. And but it's now my choice to, you know, decide how I want to live my life, you know, with these people or without these people.
Yeah. No, right. And that's, you know, that's sort of being a, you know, a mindful person and sort of saying, how can this situation that I'm in serve me better?
Exactly.
Be a higher person, a higher vibing or a more loving or giving.
And getting rid of the dramas. There was a lot of drama that was going on that, when you're in it, when you're in things.
Right.
You don't even know you're in them sometimes until you take a step out or off that hamster wheel, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so, you know, when I was listening more to people, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of drama happening. You know, do I want to be involved in this kind of drama?
Right.
Do I need to step back? Sometimes they're family members and you can't always go away completely, but sometimes you can take a step back.
That's right.
You know, and not be around it all the time because the negative energy just grabs onto you and then you have to shake it off as much as you know, you're going home. You're like, why am I so miserable? Why am I so unhappy? You know, why am I so down? When in reality, you just came off a rock and roll drama, you know.
That's right. You need to go take, you need to come home and get rid of that energy.
You need
and
to take a shower.
And think about, okay, I'm going to calm down and breathe now in the shower.
Exactly. And that's just being more intuitive with yourself.
Right,
and
exactly.
Other people. And I find that the more I have done that, the more peace I have within.
Oh gosh, yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
Now in your other, you know, steps, you talk about accountability.
Yes.
You know, and you needed to be accountable to yourself. And that is all part of, you know, observing some of the dysfunction and drama around us. I'm trying to find the right word. I was going to say psychopathology, but that's pretty, now that's dramatic, right?
That's dramatic, but that's okay.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like we have to step back and sort of look at how, I mean, do you think we attract that into our lives?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What we resist, we persist.
Ah, really love that.
You know, I mean, it's an energy, you know, the more I was actually, for me, I was actually projecting, this wasn't in the book, but I always said to myself and others, I don't want to be homeless. I don't want to be a bag lady.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I always would say, I'm scared about being a bag lady.
Oh, my
I'd say it all the time. And I actually came a month close to being that bag lady because
I got myself
in so much debt.
Yes.
And I got myself in debt. And the more I hated being in debt, I got myself in more debt.
Yes.
So it's the more you resist, you know, it will persist and it will come towards you. So it's an energy. The more you talk about, the more it comes about.
Yes, exactly. It's so true. It's really beautifully said.
You know, think about what we're thinking about.
And
be cognizant of it.
Yes.
Accountability in me was one of those. Was like, okay, you know, you're trying to get out of debt. Don't go spend anything. Check.
Right.
You know, did you spend any money today? Nope. Check. You know, so it's accountability for myself because everybody else has their own lives, right? Now, would it be absolutely wonderful if somebody came in and held me accountable?
Yeah.
You know, that'd be great too.
Right.
At the time I didn't have any money.
Right.
And I had to learn like, okay, if that person's not around to hand me that super person girl, a super girl,
right,
and making my ego feel better. I had to do it myself. And I think it's important that we acknowledge our own accountability. And if somebody else gives us something and says, wow, I'm really impressed with you, that's a bonus.
Boy, is that ever, right?
Rather than waiting for like, don't you see what I did? Do you see how good I am?
Oh my goodness.
That I paid off? That's just your ego. And we've got to remove ourselves from that. You know,
accountability
to ourselves is really, really important, and checking our own lives off every single day. And it's not that hard once you get used to it.
No, you know, it really isn't. And once you go through the practice, and it is, it's like every day people should take into account your practices that you suggest. And these are little life-changing words that you might suggest to others.
Simple steps, because you know what? I hate anything hard.
Yeah. Well, right?
You know, because it's hard. What's the first thing you think of? Oh, I can't do this. It's too hard.
Right. Exactly.
And then you don't always do it, right?
It's so true. And, you know, we can baby step, you know, baby step into the things every day that makes us feel better about ourselves.
Exactly.
Those thoughts, you know, in the evening to ponder our day, acknowledgement and forgiveness and mindset and being accountable and just little tidbits every day of, okay, this now I'm on the right track. I think I'm growing and learning.
And then celebrate it, because I celebrate every day when I do my list or I did what I wanted to do. I actually get up and do a little jig like, woohoo!
I love it. That's great.
That also changes your energy also.
Sure it does. Movement exactly. And then the fifth, you know, idea that you have the empowerment word is perseverance. And we're just talking about that. It's just, and that's the hard thing. I think a lot of people, you know, do the 180 thing. I'm going to jump right into it. I'm going to start working
that's
out.
That's the problem.
I'm gonna start writing
and
my
then
affirmations.
They quit. Yeah. Then they quit. And so perseverance for me is, and here's there's one thing I do, I have it with me all the time, is to keep me going and moving forward. I wrote out a why. I wrote out why I never want to be on the floor, broke, broken, drunk, no money, you know, almost homeless. And I detailed so much that I was, you know, everything about it, you know, all the adjectives and adverbs you could possibly put in it. And if when I ever think I get a complacent, and we all do, right?
Oh, yeah.
I can pull that little why out and said, this is why you're going to take that step today, Patricia, because you don't ever want to be back there. So that keeps me persevering, even if it's one small step.
Sure, exactly.
Just moving forward.
Yes, you talk about the, you know, having the courage to change. And I think exactly what you just said is really an empowering, you know, step.
Well, the courage and the confidence to change. Yeah. And sometimes we have to build that confidence. Confidence isn't built into us when we're born, but, you know, we can find it because it is there, and we just need to build on it. And then that creates even more courage. Because I just want to make this sure people understand that the confidence I ask people to build is not that brash confidence, the ego-driven one. The confidence I want is sustainable.
Yes.
Confidence that makes you feel good, that makes you feel like you can say no when you want to say no. Those boundaries that you place on yourself to live a full life, and having a confidence of feeling good about your day every single day. That to me is a good confidence, and not the confidence like, you know, like it's steamrolling over somebody type of confidence.
No, exactly. And that's, you know, that's more tending towards the narcissistic, you know,
exactly,
kind of personality styles.
People think that, you know, they think, you know, if I get too much empowerment and too much confidence, then I'm a B-I-T-C-H.
Right. No, not true. I mean, it's true. You know, we all need it. We all need courage. We all need confidence. And I think that's the main thing, especially going back to what we were talking about with the, you know, social media today and a lot of young people who are comparing themselves, you know, to others' PR campaigns. But I think it's really important to just say, I'm really okay the way I am.
I'm okay right now. Yep.
And we're all a gift because we all have special parts of our souls that we can give to the world no matter what they are.
We're all unique. We're like a snowflake.
Yes, we are. Beautifully said. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, I'm sitting here on the couch. Well, we're on different couches, but nonetheless, here on LA Talk Radio, Seen and Unheard is the book, A Little Girl's Journey from Silence to Empowerment. I'm going to share this with you. Come on, Michelle. There you go. It's a wonderful book. It's a great read and also has so many, you know, great, I think, therapeutic tools for you to understand how you can be more empowered in your life and you know, just feel good about who you are and be more joyful. Basically, that's what it's all about. And
find
your peace. What a beautiful thing to say. I always wanted to ask you, who have been the most influential people to you in your life? How have they helped you?
You know, honestly, I guess a normal person would say somebody like it's famous or something, but actually it's my sister. Not even here with me anymore. She, she was in the book actually, but
yes, she was.
She she's a part of me. She mentored me. She's the one that inspired me. And I think in a lot of ways, I would have probably had even more trouble if I hadn't had her as a fabulous sister. And so I keep her close to me all the time. I feel like she's always with me. And I even wear her necklace that I've had probably on this on my neck for 40 years.
Oh, I love
and, it. And so she's the person. But if I was probably to say somebody that I know, don't really know, would be Louise Hay.
Oh, yeah.
I think that she's a wonderful, well, she was a wonderful person and she started late, you know, she did lots of things in her younger life too, but she also started a lot of things in her, you know, as a mature woman. And I think that as a mature woman, we have so much time left, guys.
Yes.
You know, that we can do so much for the world because we have all those lessons that we have learned and that we have that wisdom that we've earned. And now it's time to share it. With
it
the
really
world
is.
And not feel like you're like, well, I'm 65 or 670 and I can't do these things anymore. Girl, I'm just getting started. So
there you go. Good for you, Patricia. And speaking about sharing with the world, you know, another really important point that you emphasize is having a purpose and giving to others.
Yes.
So one of your passions is the Healing Hoodies mission.
Yes.
And you formulated that. You got that all together. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yes. I've always believed, first off, that words matter. It's important what you say to people and what they say to you.
Sure.
And I also believed in signs. I believe when sometimes when I look up and I'm like, oh, that's a sign, you know.
Yes. You know,
So I wanted to do something that, you know, especially for young people that especially young women and men too, but young women to realize to start young that I want them to feel motivated. So by putting motivational words on the front and back of my hoodies, which everybody loves a good hoodie, right?
Oh, I love that. So, yes.
You know, it's like, it says, I can, and maybe in the back, it'll say, you can too. So
in other words,
if someone says, I can, but they turn around and they see you coming and it says, you can too. That sometimes can be a sign or I'm possible or, you know, and you're possible or anything. So I have several sayings that I have on there. So it's a kind of a coming and going and all the net proceeds go towards helping and motivate women in charities.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So all the money goes to that. That's really important to me.
Oh, good for you. That's
but yeah, and they're fun to wear and people smile and you may just give a sign to somebody. It says, you know, like maybe they were thinking about doing something and that you all of a sudden you look up and says, you can too. Oh my gosh,
wow.
I can.
Right. You know little signs from the universe that someone's
wearing
that's giving in so many ways. And what a beautiful idea. I love that, Patricia.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Well, what's the best way that viewers and listeners can find out more about you and your healing hoodies and also all the work you do? And I love the therapeutic techniques you use as well, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, no,
thank
that's
you.
Amazing.
I'm not a therapist, you know. Mine is all everything that I've learned in the past. That's one thing I always express to people is learn. Educate, just continually learn about things and you learn more about yourself. But how people can get a hold of me is first off, just go to my website, patricialove.com. They'll find about the healing hoodies. You can buy my book there. You can find out about my coaching. I'm also going to be launching an app here in about a month or two.
Great.
More about that maybe at some point. And then called Confident You. And then also you can go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble to get my book Seen and Unheard. So,
That's wonderful. It's a wonderful book. And I love the tools that you share. And I am definitely going to use this as a guidebook for many of my clients, because it really, I always get these requests from people like, can you give me a book of encouragement or, you know, tell me, can you talk about other people's stories and share with me how they overcame trauma in their life. And this is the book, folks. Here it is.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it can be a little bit raw here and there, but there are also some fun and good parts too.
Oh yeah. Love that Mustang. Love that Mustang.
Yeah, I know, right?
How cool is that? I got one too. And same, you know.
Oh, really?
I was the girl that was driving kids to, you know, college and that kind of thing. And very similar parallel experiences, you and I, my dear.
Interesting. Yeah, but there's a lot of times, there's a lot of parallels I find out. So yeah, we need to be open and support each other and always be there for each other, because we want to know the bad parts just as much as the good parts.
So true. Well, thanks so much for being here on the couch. Patricia, love, you're a doll. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the opportunity.
Blessings. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me here. And next week, we're going to find out more about improving your relationships with everybody. And that's working on yourself as well. Dr. Michelle saying bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.